this morning. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 5. Matthew 8, 5, and we're going to read a story about how Jesus heals the centurion's servant. And so beginning in verse number 5, here's what the Bible says. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, and having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and with Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for church. We thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you'd help us to grow. I pray that you would help us to yield our body and soul, as we just sang, to your spirit, to your word, so that we might see him produce in us fruit. Fruit of love, fruit of joy, fruit of peace, and ultimately a testimony of Jesus Christ. And so, God, I pray that you bless this time. Now we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I love growth. Growth is an amazing thing. And I don't know how many of you guys are farmers or gardeners, and have you tried to keep a plant alive? It's not always easy. I have a plant here this morning that we have kept alive in our office because, first of all, it's probably, well, it's fake. And so it'll never die. But it ultimately will never live because it's fake. But I grabbed this plant out as an illustration this morning, a visual aid for us so that we might see it and reminded of how planting and growing and gardening is difficult. It's not easy to keep plants alive, especially indoor plants. They're even more difficult. And we have a hedge at our house. We planted a hedge when we moved in, and it's grown pretty well, but it's difficult to keep some of those plants alive. You have to keep them from disease, from bugs, from things in there. It's hard to keep it alive. But faith will grow if you want it to. Your faith, your life will grow if you want it to. And that's what I want to challenge us this morning. In our text, we saw there's not so great a faith, though not in Israel. I want to ask you this morning, how's your faith? How's your growth in your heart? How is your heart for God? Are you growing in faith? The truth is you cannot force a plant to grow. It's got to grow on its own. You can't make it grow. You can tell it nice things. I've actually heard people that say you can play music for plants, they might grow a little better. I don't know, I've never tried it. You want to try that? Go right ahead. But what you can do is cultivate the plant to grow. You can provide the right environment for growth. You can give it water. You can give it food. You can give it sunshine, fresh air. All of those things will help a plant grow. See, I've always been concerned with trying to help Christians keep from falling in their faith and in their walk for God. The truth is that I've pastored now for 12 years. And I have seen Christians, they get saved, they're excited about God, they want to live for God, they're coming to church, they're faithful to church, they're involved in ministry, they're involved in discipleship, they want to learn all that they can about God and about his word, and they're inviting other people to come to church, and they're leading other people to Christ, and they're just living for God. We might even describe them as somebody who is on fire for God. I love to see it. And I've seen it many times in our church. It's a blessing. But on some occasions, there are some that were once on fire for God, once excited about the things of God, once excited about church. They love church. They love the people of God. Auntie, I was talking to Auntie, and she was asking for clarity on the growth group. She says, now, do we need to go to all the growth groups? I said, no, Auntie, you just, you know, you go to one. And she said she went to Harold and Billy's, and they said, you can come just on Sunday morning to the early one, and because it's difficult for her to get out, and that's the same growth group, and it is. But she said something to me that was interesting. She said, I just like to be around good, godly people. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And I know Christians that they just like to be around good, godly people. We should have that desire to be around good, godly people, to grow as a Christian. And I've learned that if we're going to keep from backsliding, it's going to be necessary that we grow in our faith. Because to stay stagnant is a recipe for disaster. You got to always keep growing in God. It's necessary. And so again, when we ask ourselves this morning, are you growing? If the question is, if the answer, well, not really, then the truth is we're backsliding. We need growth. We need to grow in our faith. We need to see God do a work in our heart. And as a Christian, just like a plant, you cannot force yourself to grow. Listen, you need to grow. Get up in the morning and tell yourself while you look in the mirror, you need to grow. What's wrong with you? You're going to grow today. If you don't grow, I'm not eating lunch. Well, guess what? You're not going to grow. That's not how it works. But you can cultivate an environment for growth. And that's necessary for a Christian, to cultivate an environment for growth. And by the way, you can actually fake growth. This is a fake plant. It's not real. It actually looks kind of decent. Looks nice. But it's not real. And there has been some plants, man, especially with the tropical flowers. There's been some that I've looked at. Wow, that's amazing. And then I'll get a little closer. Is that real? It almost looks waxy. And you get a little closer, you look at it, you touch it. I try to rip the leaf. That's what I should try to, and if it doesn't rip, fake. Busted, right? It's a fake plant. And if it does rip, well, I just wounded the plant. But at least I know it's real. And the truth is as a Christian, you can actually fake growth. You can do the things that kind of look natural for a Christian to do. You can kind of walk the walk. You can talk the talk, if you will. You can say the right things. You can show up on Sunday morning at church. But eventually, it'll be made known if the growth that we have in our heart is real or is fake. Because what happens over time is we will be thrown into situations that are difficult. Difficult situations, like we learned in our growth group, these hot water situations that will reveal the contents of our heart. And that's where the real growth is, in our heart. And if what comes out of us is not good, we've seen no growth. Even if we're able to make the outside look good, it's not real growth. So we want to cultivate an environment for growth. So I hope, it's my desire this morning for our church, that you would have a desire to grow. That really is my desire. If you're here, you say, well, I really don't want to grow, then honestly, I'm glad you're here. I really am. But that kind of defeats the purpose. We're here to grow. We want to grow as Christians. We want to be more like Jesus Christ. That's the goal for all of us. Faith grows with attention and intention. If you don't give a plant attention and intention, it will die. And the same is true for the Christian life. And so in our text, in Matthew chapter 8, we see a centurion approach Jesus Christ. And here's what the Bible says. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came a centurion beseeching him. The word beseech means to beg. He comes to Jesus and he starts to beg Jesus. It's an act of humility. If you ever heard, maybe there'll be people that say, well, I'm not going to beg. That's an act of pride. They're telling you that they're too good for that act. They will figure it out another way. But when a person begs, it's an act of brokenness. It's an act of humility. And then in verse 8 we read, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth sick at home of the palsy, grievously tormented. And continue on in verse 7, and Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Isn't that incredible? He comes to Jesus. He's begging him. He's beseeching him. He's showing humility. And he says, my servant is sick. He's grievously tormented. He needs you. And so Jesus immediately responds, I will come. I will heal him. That's amazing. That's a successful trip. But then something even more incredible happens. In verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Again, another statement of humility. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And here's his reasoning for saying that. He says in verse 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. What he is identifying here is very powerful. He understood that Jesus, as God, had the power simply to speak the word. And his servant, though a great deal of distance away, would immediately be healed. Whoa. Again, you would think, again, Jesus' response seems to be someone, I'm gonna travel a great distance to where your servant is, and I will heal your servant in that moment. But the centurion said, listen, you have all power. You can do whatever you want to do. And if you simply speak the word, my servant will be healed. Because I have people under authority, under me. And if I say to them, go, they'll go. If I say to them, do it, they'll do it. Because they are under my authority. And the centurion is identifying that everything is under Jesus' authority. And whatever he says, he can do. When Jesus heard it in verse 10, he marveled. And he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. It's an interesting word, marveled. You know, there's only two times in all of the Bible when it says of Jesus that he marveled. Only two times. He was amazed. It moved him. Whoa. The first time was when he went to his hometown, Nazareth. And he was rejected. And he marveled. The second time is here in our text, when he marveled at the faith of the centurion. So one time he marveled at great unbelief, and the second time he marveled at great belief. The word marvel means to step back with wonder and amazement. Whoa. Faith matters to God. Your faith delights God. And your desire to grow in your faith pleases God. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh love. So Jesus is saying, hey, to the Jewish people, though they're God's people, though through them came the oracles of God, though amazing thing happened to the Jewish people, being Jewish isn't really important to God. Or being Gentile. That's not what's really important. And that's kind of a relief for me as a Gentile because I'm not Jewish. It says, hey, to God, to Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, being Jewish doesn't avail anything, nor being Gentile avail anything. But here's what matters. Faith, which worketh by love. That's what matters most. to God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One of the questions Jesus asked is in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, when he's looked at the condition of our world. And he says, for I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, he asks this question, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You know what's interesting? He didn't ask if he would find churches. He didn't say, will I find religion? Will I find people that will gather together? It's not what he asked. He says, will I find faith? That's what's important to God. Faith. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, the Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith. So do you want to grow in your faith? I do. Faith is what matters most to God. From faith flows all the Christian characteristics that we need in the Christian life. And anytime we try to live the Christian life without faith, we will end up miserable. It becomes a burden. It becomes something that we feel obligated to do. It's not an obligation. It's a joy. But that is only done by faith. One of Satan's biggest goals is to keep us out of situations and environments that help us grow in our faith. And if we're not careful, we will keep ourselves out of environments and situations that keep us from growing in our faith. So faith grows with attention and intention. So how do we grow? First of all, I want to give you some tips here as to practical preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 we read, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God has given you an incredible tool to grow your faith. His word. It's an amazing tool. It's his infallible word. His inerrant word. He's given you his word to grow in your faith. So we are blessed when we hear the word of God preached. We are blessed when we hear the word of God taught, or when we read it for ourselves in our devotions. If we want to grow, we need to feed and feast on the Word of God, simply like a plant. Plants need food to grow. Anything needs food to grow. And if they don't have the proper nutrition, it's not going to grow. Whether it's a human, whether it's an animal, or actually talking to somebody recently, there's two, in Texas, there's obviously two sides of Texas, but there is deer on one side of Texas that seemed to grow a lot larger than the same species of deer on the other side. The same deer, but if you'll shoot one in this side of Texas, it's bigger, typically, than one on the other side of Texas. Same deer, same state. What's different? Food. It's different. Their supply is different. What they're able to get and the nutrition that they're able to eat is different. It affects how they grow. And you can, again, do the same thing with a plant. You can keep it from growing based on its food. Everything needs food. Every living thing needs fuel. And as a Christian, in our spirit, our fuel is the Word of God. We need it. We all need the Word of God. And again, we don't need man's opinions. We don't need man's wisdom. We need God's word. And we need to have an appetite for the word of God. So we need the word of God. Secondly, we need relationships, providential, Christian, spiritual relationships. You know, when most Christians can point to a time, most mature Christians can point to a time in their life that helped them grow. That was a time in my life when I really got it. And many of them can point to a series of or a time of preaching or a sermon or something like that or something in their devotional time. But most, in addition to that, will be able to say, and this person God used to increase my faith because I had a relationship with them. They helped me. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. For Timothy, it was his mother and grandmother, and then the Apostle Paul. For Naaman, it was a little Jewish girl. For Joshua, it was Moses. For David, it was his friend Jonathan. For Paul, It was Ananias. Who was it for you? Who helped you? Who came alongside you? God brings people into our lives to grow. They love us. They nurture us. They help us. God, though, just doesn't want to bring providential relationships into your life. He wants you to be that person to whom you will help others, to help other people grow. This is one of the main reasons for church. Find people, and our growth groups are really important to get connected with people that will help you grow, that you can help grow. That's important. We need fellowship. That's why Satan fights so hard to break up relationships, to destroy unity of the church. He wants to destroy a church. He wants to destroy the unity of the church, get people mad at people. He wants to infuse drama to break up the fellowship. And God is designed for you to connect with people to help you grow and to help them grow. And then also disciplines in our own lives. In Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." A healthy Christian delights in the law of the Lord day and night. You're always going to need public preaching. You're always going to need teaching and teaching of the Word of God. But at some point, we're going to need to personally get into God's Word for ourselves. Even if you have a strong Christian friend, which is necessary, we need to have our own walk with God. And it's a discipline. It's important. It's something we have to work at. It's not something that comes easily. It's something that we falter with. We get behind on, and we have to get back up from it. We have to stay after it. It's discipline. And we think of all the disciplines that we have in life. You know, oftentimes, to get up when we need to get up, we have to discipline ourselves. We have to set an alarm. You know, we have to do what we need to do to be where we need to be. We set reminders. We have calendars. We do different things to help ourselves, and we need to have that same discipline for the Word of God. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." A walk with God is about privately reading God's Word, listening to godly music, studying for yourself, but you need to make it personal. It's yours. It's between you and God. So there's the preaching of God's Word, there's the relationships, there's the personal disciplines, and then there's the pivotal circumstances. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Bible says, "We know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Then we continue reading, "For whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." These situations that we come into are designed by God to help us grow. They help us grow in our faith. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, Joseph said to his brothers, "And we know that all things, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass that it is to this day to save much people alive." You know, for us, honestly, if we're honest about it, when we come into a bad situation, what's the first thing we want to do? get out of it. And I think that's normal. As fast as we can, we want to remove ourselves from the bad situation, from the bad circumstances, from the difficult situation. Instead, though, let's pray that God would ask us to grow us through it, not to get out of it. You know, oftentimes we think, hey, you know, God, get me out of this situation. God, whatever you have to do, please, please. And we pray that way. Let's switch a little bit and say, God, Lord, you have me here for a reason. Would you help me grow? Would you help me grow through this circumstance? Would you help me become more like you through this circumstance? Would you help this accomplish the purpose for which you sent it? So that you don't have to send it again? To grow. To have that prayer, God, please use me. Please help me. Please help me become more like you in these pivotal circumstances. God wants to use times of trouble to grow us in our faith. And then how else do we grow in our faith? Through service. Through personal service. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas that is the first fruits of Achaia and how they addicted themselves to the ministry of them saints. I love that. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. There's several things that we could addict ourselves to. Bad vices, most of them. But here, these Christians, they addicted themselves to ministry of the saints, to doing what saints should be doing. So, are you addicted? Most of the time, if I were to ask you that question just out of the blue, you would say, no. And probably for good reason, because there's a lot of things we don't want to be addicted to. But there is one, and that's the ministry of the saints. Are we addicted to that ministry? Is it necessary for us? Can we not get through the day without it? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Service. Service is important. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. As we grow as Christians, we begin to give out instead of simply receiving in. And there's a transition that takes place. And when you first get saved, when you're a young Christian, you need to take in all that you can. Discipleship, church services, growth groups, whatever you can, you need to take in. Personal devotions, preaching, whatever you can, you take in. But as you grow in your faith, there's a transition. Now, you never stop receiving, but you start giving out. You start serving yourself. You start being a blessing yourself. You start being that friend yourself. You start being a minister to somebody else. You start telling the gospel to somebody else. And that's a necessary change that needs to take place. If all you ever do is take, you will grow very little. You know, the truth is physically, if all I ever do is eat, I will grow, but probably in the wrong way. Right? There needs to be an exercise, a labor, a work. The same is true spiritually. Yes, take in. Yes, receive the word. Yes, read your Bibles. Yes, pray. Yes, sing Christian songs. Yes, praise the Lord. All of that's really, really good. Yes, feed your spirit. But then give out. Exercise that faith. Work out that faith. Addict yourselves to helping others. That's necessary for growth. We need that. It could be helping on one of the vans, bringing in kids. We're going to get another van. We just got another van. Should get here this week. Another bus route. Praise the Lord. Maybe you could help out with that, to drive or to help invite people to come. That's a great opportunity to serve. Maybe help out with Pastor Pirate or Pee Wee Club or Nursery. Help out in one of those. Say, hey, maybe I can help out in one of these services. Not all the time because you need to get fed, but hey, I want to get on the schedule. Could be painting around the church. I always feel like painting is, it's one of those tasks that it's needful, but oftentimes is, it's going to need painted again soon. Just one of those things that need to be done. Fixing up the property. We're at this place with our property where we're kind of between a rock and a hard place because we don't want to fix up too much because we're going to get a new building, Lord willing, soon. But then there's stuff that needs fixing up. So, like, how do you balance that? Well, we fix up what we can and what we should for safety reasons. But, man, if you want to come out to help fix some things up, I think it's good to take care of what we have. Even though, in my mind, I know there's going to be a day I'm going to watch this building get demolished. I'm going to watch it happen. I'll video it for you. Or you can be here, too, with me. And I know it's going to happen. And so, how much work do you put into something that's going to be demolished in hopefully a few months? Year, maybe. I don't know when. What do you do? But we work. We fix things up. We clean it. We make it as nice as we can. We do things. We fix things up. We look at things and say, hey, maybe that can fix that. You know, the gravel out front that we just got this week was a result of somebody saying, hey, we need to get gravel out here. Not me. Somebody saw a need. And a group, and we got together and got it done. It could be mentoring somebody in personal discipleship. We need disciplers. We need to continue on the discipleship process where people meet one-on-one, discipling young believers and seeing young believers grow. It could be helping out in a growth group. You know, say, hey, what, you know, you go to, maybe you're not a host and maybe there's somebody else who's hosting and you can go to that host and say, hey, listen, I really appreciate you hosting. What can I do to help out? What can I do to be a blessing? Can I take some strain off you so that you can have more time to enjoy the fellowship? What can I do to help? Again, not just receiving, but giving as well. One of the opportunities, we've designed our church over three purposes, which is to love God. We love God first. We grow together. This is about growth this morning. But ultimately, that leads itself to serving others. We need to serve others. We need to make a difference in this place. Whether that's by spreading the gospel, which is necessary, or simply helping out in a community project. It's important to serve others. And we have this opportunity. We just got this big old flood that came, and the number of, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's like that fish that they caught, you know, it just keeps, man, we got 27 inches, now it's up to 50 inches, and they're saying, well, it may have been beyond that. Who knows? It was bad. It got a lot of rain, no doubt. It was a bad flood, and it's still, they're still trying to get the road open to one lane for the residents to get back and forth from the North Shore. Should happen soon. I heard within the next couple days it'll be open. But people are still recovering. And we've sought for how can we help? And it's been difficult to find areas and things. And so what can we do? Well, recently, there's a thing that just happened that I think our church can help out in a big way. And that's with Lydgate. Lydgate's a beach park, and all the ponds, the Morgan's Pond, they're full of wood, packed full of wood. And they're having beach days every Saturday at 8:30. They go down to the lifeguard again, and what they're doing is, it's kind of an interesting idea, but each week they go down and they clean off the beach. And then the tide comes in and drops more wood, and they clean that off. It brings more wood, and then little by little they're clearing out the ponds because the ponds are kind of nasty and don't want to probably get in that water. But cleaning it out week by week, and our church can show up. And last week, several other churches showed up, and different volunteer groups, a lot of people came. What a great thing would it be to have Quiet Baptist Church there showing in our community that we want to serve. And then we're using it on Memorial Day, so it might be nice to have a nice beach. But we want to help our community, serving others. So growth groups, we want to get together and talk about what Saturday we can go and be down there and serving others. Acts of service. Your faith will leap forward when you take the gifts and callings of God in your life and use them to minister to others. You will grow exponentially. And that's what it's about. These acts of service, they're like seeds. And when you serve, you grow. This isn't the first thing on the list. If you're not attending church faithfully, building relationships, spending time in God's word, you're not ready to serve. Because those things cultivate service. And they cultivate a servant's heart. Humility and the mind of Christ, which is a servant's heart. But so you need to build that. It's not something you just say, I'm going to be this. Let it come from your heart. But if you have received and you want what you've received to be delivered to others, you want to be the conduit by which God's goodness flows to others, then you need to serve to make a difference, to have your faith grow. And faith comes alive when you serve others. So here we are. We're growing together as a church. We want to grow together. We're getting our growth groups built up. They're strengthening. They're getting stronger and stronger. Having ideas, employing those ideas, making sure that we're in God's word. We're growing. And your growth will happen with intention and attention. Intentionally attending to your walk with God. And we need to have that as a church. Because I'll be honest, I've seen far too many people. One is far too many. Who were excited for God. Who were faithfully serving God. And they stopped the growth. And they didn't get out of church all at once. They kept coming to church, but they weren't as excited about the song service. They weren't as excited about the offering to give. They started to get bothered by different things. And little by little, their heart starts to wander because there's no growth. And somebody says something or does something that offends them. They skip 1 week, and they skip two. Next thing you know, they're not in church. And if that doesn't stop, they become angry and bitter at church and at God because they stop growing. If you stop feeding a plant, it dies. If you stop watering it, it dies. As a Christian, you need to feed your heart, your spirit. Water it intentionally. Grow. You can't force yourself to grow, but you can create the environment for growth. And that's what we have to do. We have to constantly do that because the world has an environment for spiritual death. And if you'll love the world, the things of the world, you get an appetite for the things of this world, very quickly your heart will shrivel. You can't love God and love the world. So we need to grow and create an environment for growth. And sometimes that means we don't watch what the world watches. Sometimes that means we don't look at what the world looks at. Sometimes that means that we don't listen to what the world listens to. We're careful what our eyes see. We're careful what our ears hear. Not in a snobbish, stuck-up way. But in a careful way to realize my heart needs an environment for growth. And seeing evil and hearing evil constantly is not good for my heart. So grow. And grow for God. And grow together. And serve God together. And make a difference for God in this world while we have the chance. Let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Help us to grow, God. My prayer is that we would grow as a church. We grow together through our growth groups. We grow together through our Sunday morning preaching services. That we grow together through service, through outreach. But God, my prayer is if there's somebody here today that does not know you as their Savior. Well, they're like this fake plant. They don't have the Spirit of God. They don't have the ability to grow. They're lost without Christ. If there's somebody here today that does not know for sure that Jesus is their Savior, they do not know for sure that their sins are forgiven, Lord, my prayer is that today they would be saved. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, for just a moment, I want to ask you that question. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I don't know that Jesus is my Savior. I'm not sure that my sins have been forgiven. I'm not positive that I'm saved. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up? Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. And then, Christian, I'm going to ask you this. Would you do whatever it takes to provide an environment for growth in your heart and your life? Intentionally putting the things in your life that you need to grow? Whether you have to schedule it or what? And also keeping the things out of your life that hinder growth. Laying aside the sins and the weights that thus so easily beset us. Because they're problematic. Oftentimes when I see these Christians backslide, there's one major thing as well that goes on in their life. And there's something that becomes more important than God. Something that they just can't give up. Something that they love just too much. And it eats away at them. So God, help us to lay our all on the altar. To surrender all. To give it all to you. And God, I do pray that you bless this time of invitation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take our hymn books. We're going to hymn number 161.